Right, so thank you very much for the opportunity to address this subject. So I'm going to speak much more as the Chief Medical Officer than my research role, and start with talking a bit about the challenge. At the moment we have 600,000 people with dementia in this country, England. It's going to rise to 1 million in 10 years. One in three of us, as we pass 65, will develop it. We've got no cure, and if you think about the stigma of mental disease, this has got it in spades. And then you think about, do all our health and care workers understand not only what it is, but what it means, what the underlying diagnoses are? And arguably, all too many of our workforce don't. Indeed, I detect that many of our gatekeepers to the system, general practitioners, don't. And that, of course, makes it much worse for the sufferers and the carers. And it's important that people do understand about it, not only because of the stigma, but because, of course, often people treat dementia as synonymous with Alzheimer's. And while 50% of the cases are Alzheimer's, the other 50% aren't. Some are rare diseases, Lewy body, quite a lot are vascular diseases. And actually, if I have vascular dementia, I want to know because I need my cardiovascular status, my lifestyle factors, sorted out to see if we can stop its progression. The other thing I found myself in argument with, having done a Volt FAS as I learnt more a while ago, is, but it's as a diagnosis, is a diagnosis of a death sentence, why would we want to make people unhappy by telling them? Well, there's ample evidence and experience now that if it is picked up early, first of all, the drugs that are available can, for many people, for Alzheimer's, extend their good quality period, though probably not alter the time of death, but that's something worth having. Many people are then less bewildered and can really use the good quality time well in a way they want, and they and their carers can plan so that they have the care they want, the care they need, and arguably the death that they desire, because I'm very keen that we should provide everyone with a dignified death that they want, that's pain-free. So if you don't make the diagnosis early, then you don't have those opportunities. And that is denying people, I think, their rights. So in 2009, the department, after a lot of work with other people, published the National Dementia Strategy. And that's already achieved quite a lot, but we know diagnosis rates are low. We had a session with our new Secretary of State only this morning about dementia, and the statistic used was, we believe that 42% of people with dementia in this country, England, are diagnosed. 42%? What about the rest? Whereas in Scotland, it's about 60%. So it's much lower than it should be. And that, combined with that lack of awareness and skills to support people, shows that we need to do more. Earl Selborne has just talked about the Prime Minister's Challenge on Dementia, launched at the end of March, pushing people to go further and faster, building on that progress. His ambition that we've all signed up to willingly to try and put our energies behind is to make this country a world leader in dementia care and research, because at the moment we don't have, for Alzheimer's, a good early biomarker way of saying, apart from the clinical syndrome, that's what's happening. We don't have an effective prevention or cure, and we all see the newspaper reports of drugs tried in late-stage disease that are not having an impact. Maybe they would have an impact if we could try them early in the disease, but how are we doing on diagnosing it effectively early? So the Prime Minister's Dementia Challenge focuses on three key areas: driving improvements in health and care, I've talked about that need and I'll come back to it, creating dementia-friendly communities that understand how to help, and then the research agenda, which clearly I'm involved in. And three champion groups were set up, bringing together key leaders and organisations to drive this forward and try and mobilise engagement. Jeremy Hughes, who's here, and Angela Rippon are raising awareness and creating the dementia-friendly communities. And I'll talk a bit about what they're doing, but I'll shorten it now I've seen Jeremy's here so he can talk to it with his wonderful energy and enthusiasm. So Ian Carruthers and Sarah Pickup are doing the Improving Health and Care, and Mark Walpert and I are the Better Research Champions. So if we look at it from that perspective, I look at most things either as pragmatic bits you can bite out of a picture or as bits of a jigsaw you can put together. And there's no doubt that the challenges people with dementia have to deal with go well beyond that battle for diagnosis and getting support in the health and social care system. So as Jeremy can expand on, the Alzheimer's Society found as many as 67% of people with dementia do not feel part of their community. They said that they suffered loneliness, isolation, anxiety, and depression. And 3/4 of the people said that society isn't geared up to deal with people with dementia. And little examples, one person who's talked about, he's called Trevor Jarvis, talked about the difficulties he has getting his savings out of the bank because he can't remember his bank passwords and PIN numbers. I have to say I have problems too, so I've reduced them all to one, and it isn't anyone's in the family's date of birth either. But using public transport can be difficult. Things that we take for granted, if you've got dementia, make it difficult to be active in the community unless the community are active in their support and engagement with you. And so we have to find ways to communicate, to support, to help people get off the bus at the right stop, help make it easy for them to be part of our community. And we owe it to them, and we owe it to our elders. Clearly, our health and care system has a vital role to play, though it can't do it all on its own. And we have to bring in a wide range of organisations, going much broader than that. So there's housing, transport, leisure, welfare, and sadly for them, the families and carers, who have a major role to play and really can alter the will to live of people with dementia. And I think that under the new reforms that will start from April 13, the new health and wellbeing boards that bring together the whole system with the local communities provides a really exciting opportunity for many things to happen. And one of them is the prioritisation of needs of those local people with dementia, putting in place joint health and social care outcomes monitoring, local monitoring, championing the quality, and looking at whether the localities, the communities, are dementia aware, dementia supportive. If we work together, we truly can make a difference. So we need to make sure diagnosis is done early. We need to make sure that the people with vascular dementia are supported to try and halt its progression or got very early in it. We need better care in hospitals. I'm increasingly hearing about and seeing as I go on visits how much of hospital use now is not the young active, it's the elderly. 1/4 of all hospital beds are occupied with someone with dementia. If you've got dementia, you're liable to stay longer in hospital. And actually, we know that a good 12% of those admissions are avoidable. And I only have to look back at my time working on the front line in the hospital to know that for elderly people, even without dementia, they decompensated and found it really difficult coming into that weird, strange environment. So all the more difficult if you suffer from dementia. And people were not in hospitals picking up the cases of dementia and giving the support that was needed. So one of the things in the Prime Minister's challenge is putting in an incentive payment to hospitals, it's called a sequin, to ensure that the patients are screened over the age of 65, picked up, diagnosed, and then offered better services and more help in moving out. We know that residential care is patchy from superb to not as good, but most of these people, over 2/3, are living with their dementia at home. And so we need to make sure we have patient-centred support from health, social care and everywhere that comes in to support the patients, and not a different care worker every day. It's not very pleasant, I speak from experience, seeing a different person every day. It must be awful if you don't recognise them, don't know them. It's terrifying. We need to find our way through that. We've been setting up in the NHS memory services. There's very good coverage now in terms of provision. But is it good enough as a service? There's been one audit, and we know it wasn't good enough everywhere. A good half of them were okay, but the rest needed to improve. We're doing another audit. We're looking at accreditation to improve the standards of the memory services. We need better information. We know that it's variable across the system and in all areas of healthcare, but this is a particularly important one. We need to support the carers from the health and social care system. Going back to the GPs that I brought up earlier on, only 31% of GPs believe they've had sufficient training. So we've got to deal with that, because though we've had a reduction in prescription of antipsychotic medication, it's not low enough yet. There's still marked regional variation. So, to research. We don't yet know how to prevent developing dementia, and the disease-modifying treatments have very limited activity and work best when given early. But as a nation, we've got very real strengths in neuroscience and specialist research facilities, and we have hope because we know there are over 200 medicines in production in the pipeline in pharma. But we do need to bring all of this together and work on the dementia-friendly communities. And I'm just going to mention those, though it's not work I'm leading or playing into in a big way. As I said, led by Jeremy Hughes, who's here, and Angela Rippon, they're doing a terrific amount of work. The one bit I want to pick up is that they're educating 1 million people to become dementia friends by 2015, and they're trained by 6,000 volunteer dementia community champions. There are dementia awareness campaigns, so that on the World Alzheimer's Day, we supported the Alzheimer's Society to launch its latest phase of early diagnosis awareness campaign. Financial institutions are working together to develop concepts around recognise, understand and respond, provide consistent customer experiences. 21 schools have come together to form a pioneer group, building the children's confidence and insight into these issues, removing stigma. And once they've worked out the training packages, we hope that will be extended to lots of other schools. Our fire service have done work that shows that half of people who die in accidental house fires are now over age 65. So they've made a pledge on dementia, committing them to take action to increase the safety of people with dementia. While energy providers, such as Aon, are committed to creating dementia champions within their specialist customer service teams. So on it goes. A lot of work. First Group PLC, training 17,000 bus drivers with dementia awareness. Tesco looking at ways to increase dementia awareness. And it's good business sense for them. If they get this right, people will go to them and use them. We're working through the health and care system to try and incentivise getting it right. And the NHS Institute set out a call to action for every hospital to commit to being dementia-friendly by next April. So I could go on with this long list of things that is happening. I think important to highlight that as we're moving to a new environment for the supervisory part of health and social care is to say that our NHS Commissioning Board Authority has created a strategic clinical network, which is an important way to get clinical specialists together for mental health, dementia and neurological conditions. I thought I might have to jump up and down to say we needed one, but they've gone for it themselves, which shows a commitment that will be very important. Let me go quickly onto the bit that I'm helping along with Mark Walpe at LEAD, and it brings together many people who are in this audience. We've launched the Clinical Practice Research Data Link, which allows people to get linked data sets totally anonymised to look at and research. The MRC has now peer-reviewed It's a pilot study for funding brain scanning of, eventually it'll be 100,000 volunteers in the Biobank project, which is mainly funded by the Wellcome and the MRC. We funded some dementia biomedical research units who come together in the translational research collaboration. Jointly led by the ESRC, we're funding a call, and Adrian Alsop's here, so he can give us much more details as he's leading it, on research in the social sciences area and public health opportunities for reducing dementia. And then finally in this area, though there's lots more going on I could tell you about, we are on October the 10th bringing together the top of industry to show them all the research at every level that this country does, from basic through translational to clinical, to make an offer to them, come and work with our researchers and our patients who are being signed up now to join in the research, so that we can help move the research forward and our patients can get the pleasure of joining in research. We're investing, well, we're doubling the research spend in this area, and I don't believe the capacity is there to do more than double it at this point. If you are related to anyone with dementia, you want all of this to move like it happened yesterday. And I have every sympathy. The Prime Minister, though, put it rather well at the end of March when he launched it, when he said, in less than 10 years, as we all live longer lives, the number of people with dementia will reach a million. So my argument, PMs, today, is we've got to treat this like the national crisis it is. We need an all-out fight back against this disease, one that cuts across society. We've heard a lot about what can be done, must be done, to better support people with dementia, and people are working on that. There's a lot of good practice on there we need to draw on, but there's still too much unacceptable, and we need to root that out. But that needs everyone in here and everyone out there. This is not something that the Care Quality Commission can do on its own, or the NHS can do it on its own. And we need to do a lot of research to try and find better treatments, better ways of looking after people, better ways to support carers. But what we have to do, above all, is find a way to help people with dementia, their carers, their families, be a true part of our society as we go forward. Try and support those carers, because we are told that the pressures on carers of patients with dementia are some of the heaviest pressures there are on carers. And try and make it that it isn't only the charities that pick up the bits, that actually the system is there to support these people effectively. So I hope, as I went about this as the chief medical officer rather than just the woman who holds the big research budget, I've given you things to think about that will be helpful to frame the rest of the debate. Thank you very much.